8 Robinsons TV presents a Yellow Tab Creative production. The Rooted in Love Show.
You are watching The Rooted in Love Show.
Welcome back to The Rooted in Love Show.
Yeah,
we're here with Mr. Ty Ridgeway. Got us laughing off camera.
He's trying to get a straight face.
We're trying to keep a straight face, but these two guys right here.
That's why they put us apart. See,
but it did work.
We should flex them right now.
Don't see them and see each other.
I see what they're doing. I didn't know that they flexing their shoulders.
Oh, I'm sorry. I get it wrong. Yeah, hold on.
I'm flexing the socks.
Come on, stretch boy.
Y'all ain't got 5-color socks.
Williams has that shoe cam thing she does. And she has a mold on the floor or something. And the guests are supposed to put their shoe in there, something like that.
Okay. It's a staging thing. Like, so they got a spot they have to put it on, and the camera gets it.
Yeah.
Well, so actually, centered just right.
Like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I might have to add that in.
Shoe cam.
That's all right.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with it, though. It's been good.
We're having good talks.
I forgot what we left off.
Well, we were talking about college, which was a good time, man. So. College is always fun. A little bit of learning, a little bit of stuff and whatnot.
So you graduated.
I did. So all right. So college was fun.
Check that first.
You
made it, right?
Did I? Wait. Those are some shady years. I got a degree on the wall. We're good. All right. Okay, so had a lot of fun learning how to be a public educator and teach music in the school systems. All right. So I came out of the University of Georgia with a few years' experience in the Red Coat Marching Band and some experience as a music educator, just kind of learning more because, man, college life is different than high school. And y'all all know where you grow in weird places when you're away from your parents. And it's fun. I think I chose just the right distance. They were about 35 minutes away. So it was like, it was a little too far for them to just pop in.
Right.
But it was really easy to go home and get a free meal and get my laundry done.
Yeah. Right.
If I had to. But I was really independent, guys. When I moved out at 18 and moved into my first apartment, I never moved back home.
Gotcha.
I never intend to, unless my parents would always say, you can and are welcome, you know, as family.
Yeah.
We're always welcome back home.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I had to leave, but I wanted to be independent and show how I could. All right. So nonetheless, college was great. It was a good time. Left college. As I was finishing up college, met my ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the band. She was on the flag line. And we started dating. It was an interesting situation. We used to do these sousaphone flag line date nights in red coats.
Interesting.
And so the whole sousaphone section would take out the flag line.
Kinky.
even if we had boyfriends and girlfriends, we were just really good friends, and the way it worked out that night is she actually had a boyfriend at the time, and I was paired up with her. She was my date for the night. All right, so we did it the gentleman way, man. You go pick them up and you give them a ride to the restaurant. You open the door and all. We did it right. And I knew she had a boyfriend, so it was never an intent to move in anyway. But about 2 weeks after that, she broke up with him and asked me if I was still available. And from then on, we were together.
You're still doing
it. It was a bigger, better deal.
He was taller than me, and she's not with me anymore. So I don't know if I was better or not, but I was a good interlude at least.
So how long did this
arrangement? Well, we finished up the school year and everything, graduated. She went on to work on her master's, and I came to the Clayton County area to start teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And
you started out in Clayco?
I started out at Riverdale, Reefadale, Killadale.
Whatever
you want to call it. We were on lockdown a lot. We had the spray paint graffiti off the side of the walls a lot.
So you came from trenches.
It was good. But I have to admit, man, straight up, coming from small town country, Franklin County, going to UGA,
mm-hmm.
where we were still talking 80-90% white population.
Yeah, this is a crazy
10% other. I mean, I'm talking otherwise, not just African American population, but like Asian Mexican and everybody else, right? So that, not a lot. I had one white student.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was definitely way more ghetto than any most of my African American students when I came to. So for me, it was definitely a demographic issue or a culture issue, because just because of her skin tone didn't make her not.
Right.
Well, anyway, I won't get into personal conversations there. She was a good kid. Nonetheless, it was a very different world for me.
Right.
Very different world for me. And I tried to adapt as quickly as I could, but there's only so much you can do in a short period of time.
Right.
The thing I think really that helped me survive is just that I try to love as much as I can. And for me, I was always, like I said, I was blessed to not have that,
right,
that color filter.
Right.
And when I walked into that, I saw underprivileged children that came from broken homes.
Right.
I didn't see black folks.
Right.
I didn't see white folks.
Right.
None of that mattered. It was that these kids strongly desired and were being denied something that I could potentially,
right,
provide. Mm-hmm. It's funny, yeah, man. Actually, my name's Ty, but most people assume it's probably Tyler or maybe just Ty. Right. It's actually Tyrus.
Tyrus. Wow.
And
oh, I thought it was
a
Tyler or something.
More
okay.
often
I
didn't
than
not.
You know what? I
didn't
know. I was hoping it was Tyrone.
It's Tyrus, but not quite. Almost.
Tyrus.
More often than not, when my students would find out that my name was Tyrus, one of the first questions they would ask was, are your parents black?
Yeah. Yeah. The names is automatic. Yeah.
The first time I had that asked, I went...
I do that with kids and they bust out laughing.
No. Why are you asking what? Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't think about it that way either because for one, I only ever knew one other kid named Tyrus my whole life until I was in my 30s and he was black. But but I just didn't think about it because there was two of us, so I didn't have like a weighted demographic to work with.
Right.
There's one white one and one black one. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
Which way, what's normal?
Right. Yeah.
So, my name actually comes from a famous baseball player. If you follow baseball, you may know Ty Cobb.
Yes.
So Ty Cobb's full name is Tyrus Raymond Cobb.
I never knew that either.
Racist.
Gotcha.
And my grandmother, my father's mother, that grandmother, and Ty Cobb were first cousins.
Oh, wow.
Their mothers were actually sisters. So my great-grandmother was a Chitwood, and Ty Cobb's mother was a Chitwood, and they married into two different families. But
that's one of them top names.
He's what you would, like, I guess, on paperwork, call my first cousin twice removed.
Okay.
Have
you been to his home?
I grew up in Royston, where Ty right Cobb there. Grew up. Yeah. My mom was actually the curator of the Ty Cobb Museum.
Okay. Wow.
I have a signed baseball that my dad has still at the house that's signed by Ty Cobb.
Yeah.
A lot of memorabilia. My grandmother and grandfather remember him coming to the house to visit often. So I grew up hearing stories of Ty Cobb as a person.
Yeah.
My dad actually met him in person before he passed away in the 60s. Mm.
That made me feel bad.
So that's where my name comes from, is actually from another white guy. So I didn't ever think like Tyrus was a black name.
Right.
Whatever that means.
Right. That's probably a good connection with the kids, though. Like, you know, you have these odd connections.
But yeah, they were like, Tyrus,
that's
a cool name. But your parents were white, and they were like, I was like, yeah, they're just cool folks. You know,
right.
Because when you say Tyrus, I'm thinking 300 and the Romans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm thinking like an even further back.
Yeah, I'm thinking like 300.
I don't even think about it.
You messed me up with the Ty Cobb thing, because when I moved to Georgia, you know, the first thing that
Georgia Peach.
I used to play golf and tennis with Hank Aaron.
Okay, awesome.
When he was viable, and he's a hell of a man.
Didn't realize he was into golf that much.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll add that.
Right. He's called me up. Hey, we're going out to White Columns. I said, I'll be right there.
Right on, man.
It was an honor, you know, because I moved to Atlanta and got with some right people. Because, you know, we did things the old-fashioned way. You move from D.C., get to wherever you live, and there's letters of introduction. If you're at a certain level, that allows you into certain areas.
You can be introduced to certain.
Right.
So, Ty Cobb, you know, was a figure that in my community, that wasn't
revered in that way.
Yeah, revered. His game, yes.
No, I know what you said.
But as a person,
I told the story was
different.
Was,
yeah,
and it's interesting because the Hollywood view of him is very different than the actual view.
Yeah.
Because my family stories talk about him coming down to the hood in Royston and handing out $20 and $50 bills
to
the impoverished people in the hood.
Right.
My grandfather could just kick himself.
Shop for Rooted in Love Show merchandise at www.8robinsons.com.
To the impoverished people in the hood.
Right.
My grandfather could just kick himself, and he's passed on now, but when he was alive, he used to just kick himself because, you know, Ty always signed with his signature green ink.
Yeah.
And he would send a letter home to my grandparents and say, hey, I need this from the local market, that from the local market, this from so-and-so. Here's a blank check. Just pick everything up.
Yeah.
Fill out the check to pay yourself back for whatever. And my grandfather would, one, he would never fill out the check and take the money because Ty was family. You can take money from family if you
right.
have to.
Right.
See, and then he would tear up the checks and throw them in the trash.
Oh,
and can you imagine what a
those
what
letters,
a,
those
hand signed letters.
Yeah. Actually, when you said baseball and MLB, I was like, you have a retirement already.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Big no, retirement.
I got thrown in the trash, man, because it's family, because nobody
right.
cares.
But you know what? This kind of thing right here, this kind of communication, because now you have totally changed my mind. About
me too.
Because I meet you.
Been
and honest. A family.
I was in the movie and I hated it.
Oh, you were?
I was in it, but I also hated it.
Yeah.
It had so many lies.
What part you was in? I don't remember that.
This was back when I was 10.
Right.
And there was a scene where he was up on a courtyard steps talking to a community out in front of him.
Yeah.
And I came running through the front of the community yelling,
I'm going to go look that up.
And then I was all decked out with the cap and all the uniform and ran over actually to my mom and stood in front of her, but you don't see her.
And then
there was a couple of church scenes in there where they needed people that could sing well enough to hold up a tune. And so I was in the congregation singing church songs.
Okay.
But I'm with what
William said. Like, we always talk about rooted in love. Remember when I was telling you about what the show is about. And you might have an opinion or you might think a certain way, but it's only because the information that's available.
Perception, reality, perspective,
all of it, right? So here you come telling us from a first-hand view. Not denying everything that was said, but this is what he did. That's an amazing thing.
And I'll say, I mean, everything we hear about from the family was, he was a dickhead on the field. He was a hardcore athlete that played within his limitations, but right at the edge of them.
Yeah.
Right.
But he was a successful athlete.
That's what you want.
That's not what he did.
Though, you know?
The stories about him filing his cleats and stuff like that, I'm not going to say it's not true, but it wasn't as prominent as people would like to think it is.
Yeah.
Did it happen? Sure, but not all the time.
But if you think about that, though, what's the difference between that, right? And then I don't know if people seen The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, right?
Okay.
And how the teammates talked about him and
he's hardcore.
And he didn't let him eat on the plane
intensity.
If he didn't do this, right? How teammates talked about Kobe Bryant, right? How Kobe was
so focused and so intense all the time.
Yeah,
I'm like that. I used to get in fights and like, you're not gonna come in no half step. And I'm trying to win.
We gotta get done. We got practice. Like,
right.
We got 5 more minutes left. You ain't talking to your girlfriend
so
yet.
So
lose control now.
So he was a hardcore hustler,
and I'm sure there were people that would have similar stories from your perspective about Hank Aaron from both sides, because and let's just talk about the four of us here. Everybody that's met us has a different opinion of us.
Oh yeah.
So I would like to think that my energy and persona comes across positive all the time, but it doesn't.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't, because I'm in a bad mood sometimes, man.
And
I'll tell you, we hadn't talked a lot about religion yet in this, other than the fact that I was in the church and sang in the choir. But I'll tell you, the first thing I do every morning when I get up, the first thing I do before I even open my eyes a lot of times is thank God for letting me open my eyes and see another day.
Right.
Because he didn't have to.
Right.
And I pray that whatever I do that day will be for his glory.
Right.
No matter how bad a mood I'm in, no matter how rude I get mad at somebody in traffic,
right?
And I'm glad I don't have a gun because I'm about to shoot your ass because you just cut me off.
Right.
Well, I got to remember
that God will take that and say, you know what, that guy was a dick, but this is how, you know, that whatever I do, whether I'm good or bad in it, that God will use it for his glory.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm not always perfect.
Yeah.
But he can use my actions
to help
to
be a little road rage. This is a naval captain who told me that. And she was, we were working in Texas, and you know, Texas is a rough group. The whole state is rough. I went to school in Texas.
So everything's bigger in Texas.
So she would because she was small, yeah. So she couldn't like mouth off at nobody. So what she did was took a twig, a branch, and put it in the dashboard. And then when someone pissed her off, she would take it and just shake it like this, not directly at them, because
yeah.
You know they didn't want to like mistake it for a piece or
yeah.
something. So she would do this. And she right. said people were freaked out.
Like you're wearing like a wand down or something. Putting some voodoo down. Hey, what we saying? The roots.
Yeah. The roots. She said people were walking, sorry. Please,
apologize.
No. And I did it the first time, and it worked. I was like, damn.
All right.
This is a
problem. We can move with that. It levels you out.
Exactly.
Right. At the same time that it allows them to realize what they did without putting that energy in their body too. Because more often than not, we react to our situation. And if you come across with some really hard negative energy, the first thing they're going to do is try to protect themselves, whether they're capable of it or not. They're
right.
going to come back at you with a protective negative energy. And it's
yeah.
not always what we need. That's how things escalate.
Respond, not react.
Right. Response, not reaction. That's right.
I started doing like this. I started doing like this. You know, I can stomp the crap out of you right now. But you know what?
Just say,
I'm not going to let you change my energy. So we won't go about
if
our
business. You know who I am.
So let's revert back to the original conversation real quick. I started teaching choir at Riverdale. I was a band director out of college.
You got some
trained in instrumental music as a bassoonist, but having background in marching band and a few other things.
Quick sidebar question. At this point, your ex, is she still doing a master's or y'all still
We're
talking?
Still engaged. We're still engaged. She's working on her master's at West Georgia because she was getting a master's in museum studies and history. And believe it or not, West Georgia has one of the best museum studies programs in the nation.
Okay.
So her goal there. So she was studying at West Georgia, getting her master's degree. She was working for the Secretary of State, and then during a period of that, was actually working for the Atlanta History Museum.
Okay.
As a I forget exactly what she was doing. She was working in the archives. She actually spent some time working at the National Archives in McDonough, Morrow.
Right.
I think we're right around that area. The National Archives, right side of Atlanta.
Well, what was on the board of Atlanta History Center? For a while.
Right on. That's awesome. They may know each other. But anyway, she was doing all that stuff. And so for a little while, she had an apartment in Carrollton and I was living in Peachtree City. But because of Clayton County, Carrollton relation, Union City was in the middle.
Right.
And trying to be like that, but I was not trying to live in Union City.
Yeah, I'm about to say,
Union
City?
Even back then, I was not trying to live in Union City.
You already branded.
It was already a place that I did not want to live. So I did not live in Union City, but Peachtree City was just south of that.
Right.
And I knew some folks from that area, and
it
was a good time to move there. It's a great community to move into. So
right. Oh, yeah.
Bought a house in Peachtree City. Talked for the first year. We got married. She moved in, all that. We were married for about a year. That didn't work out. She moved on. Was remarried 6 months later to the guy that she was cheating on me with while we were married. But anyway, all that. And then so my first year, I went in hoping to be a band director, but was a choir director.
Mm.
And not only choir director, but I get halfway through student teaching. And the guy that they hired I'm having a brain fart, LSU,
mm-hmm.
who had a master's in acting from LSU and theater,
mm-hmm.
to be the theatrical arts teacher and head of that department, comes to me and says, hey, so I was supposed to be teaching all the theater classes, but they gave me 3 English classes and 2 mm-hmm. theater classes, and you get to teach the other 2. This was 3 days into pre-planning.
Figure it out.
And he's like, I'll be glad to help, but you're going to have to teach 2 of these classes.
Right.
So my first year I got to teach theater, and I literally went home every night and read the book and learned my lesson the night before and went in and taught the lesson the next day and then went home and tried to work it out again. Loved that year. Learned a lot. It was awesome. So many cool people in that building. Just a great environment when it came to the education. Second year did a combo with Riverdale and Forest Park because Forest Park had cut their choral program completely. So I helped them restart their choral program, and then at that point went to the Fine Arts Magnet, the Martha Stillwell School for the Arts, and Derek Jackson and I worked together in the band department. He's a lot more jazz oriented, and worked with those guys as like improv and stuff like that.
Right.
And then I taught. I worked with the wind ensemble. I worked a little bit with the orchestra, even though there was an orchestra director. We worked with some of the wind ensemble stuff, and then I taught piano and first year music theory while I was there. We did a couple of. We did a couple of events each year, like nice. We did High School Musical 1 year. We did a couple of others. We did at least two full musicals each year, and we had a pit orchestra of our own students playing the live music for the pit orchestra with our students acting on stage, and our kids were helping backstage. It was a great experience for all of them to see how the world can really work in a real life situation, not just, I'm going to go say my line on stage and then go back, and my mommy's going to tell me she's proud of me.
Right.
All right, so went through those two, and then 2 years at the Fine Arts Magnet, I came across an opportunity to do a cross-country bike tour on a bicycle, and couldn't turn down the opportunity.
So this is how biking started?
I had already kind of started biking. Right. I had been cycling for about a year. Rich and I used to cycle together a lot.
Oh, I forgot. That's what he's from.
And,
okay.
We used to live next door to each other. Right. So we used to ride together. I got out 132.
Yes, definitely.
I hadn't gotten to that, but I was going to throw out a lot of stuff later on. Definitely ride. Pottery 32. Amazing guy.
You know what? That's a great story, and there's a lot in there. So we're gonna pick up after this.
Let's talk about the next thing that happened.
Yes.
After this happens.
Yes. We're gonna come right back.
I want to get into it.